while you've been out, while you've been at work, while you've been taking care of stuff, we've compiled a composite of the latest and biggest stories of the day to help you get caught up. This is 830 News on the Go.
Good Wednesday's 830 on the Go. I'm Lindsay Peterson. Today's stories include Ramsey County seeking help with a sexual assault, drug overdose deaths down in Minnesota, and an update on a former Viking star who was arrested this week. But we begin with Tu Tao, the last officer convicted in the George Floyd case, who's set to be released from prison.
Tao, who's been serving a concurrent 57-month state sentence and 3.5-year federal sentence at a federal facility in Lexington, Kentucky, is scheduled for release on Monday, November 3rd, according to the Minnesota Department of Corrections records. Tao was found guilty in 2023 of aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter and had previously been convicted on federal civil rights violation charges related to George Floyd's murder. Taylor Rivera, News Talk 830, WCCO.
Ramsey County authorities are asking for the public's help in identifying the suspect in a sexual assault.
It happened just before 8 Tuesday night in Vadnais Heights near the intersection of Centerville Road and Pondview Drive. Ramsey County deputies say a woman was walking on the sidewalk when a man ran up from behind, forced her off the path, and sexually assaulted her. After the attack, she ran to a nearby home for help and was transported to a hospital for evaluation and treatment. The suspect fled from the scene. He is described as a white man in his mid-20s, about 6 feet tall, with a muscular build. Anyone with information is asked to call the Ramsey County Sheriff's Department. Laura Oakes, News Talk 830 WCCO.
I'm Steve Simpson. And one Minnesota mayor calling for state action on ATM crypto kiosks amid rampant fraud claims. Stillwater Mayor Ted Kozlowski is urging lawmakers to regulate those kiosks after his city became the first in the state to ban them back in April. He says the cash deposit only machines can charge up to 30% commission.
You know, if somebody puts $10,000 in, like, we can maybe recover about half of that at best, right? So it's very, very hard to recover the funds, which, again, is why these things make no sense.
Kozlowski, speaking with our Adam and Giordani, says even local police struggled to stop one victim mid-scam, that he wants them removed from as many retailers as possible.
Minnesota is seeing a drop in the number of people who die or are hospitalized due to drug overdose. Those numbers reflected in the state's Lower Sioux Indian community.
The 26% decrease in Minnesota's overdose deaths recently celebrated by Governor Walz is further bolstered by efforts like those at the Lower Sioux Indian community. Having received over $300,000 in state funding over the last several years, the community is taking a dual approach by distributing life-saving drugs like Narcan and offering options like culture-based prevention programs. Program supervisor Heather Arneson.
So when we say culture is prevention, we mean that if kids are learning their traditional Dakota ceremonies, traditions, and utilizing traditional medicines, they're hopefully not going to feel that pull to experiment with substances.
She says this successful model has been key to saving lives and building a robust recovery community. Taylor Rivera, News Talk 830, WCCO.
Federal workers at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport are getting some help as they continue to work without getting paid due to the government shutdown.
Despite not receiving a paycheck, they continue to work, but no money means food is scarce. Thanks to Second Harvest Heartland and the Sine Foundation, TSA employees are getting a reprieve thanks to food donations from both organizations.
And we're really concerned about the 180,000 children in the Twin Cities that are affected by that. By SNAP benefits. So we want to be responsive and, you know, come to support you where you're at.
Well, I mean, what's important to realize is that food shelves and food banks, we are designed to be a safety net, and we are not designed to replicate the power of SNAP benefits.
And they said they will be here on a weekly basis until the government reopens. At MSP, Ari Bergeron, News Talk 830 WCCO.
The state is changing how it processes Medicaid.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz ordering a third-party audit of billing for 14 Medicaid services the state has characterized as high risk for fraud. Payments will be paused for up to 90 days in order to investigate suspicious billing activity and scrutinize the use of public funds. Claims suspected to be improper will be referred to the Office of Inspector General for review and possible investigation.
Susie Jones, News Talk 830 WCCO.
The Minneapolis Public Housing Authority broke ground on a new triplex and a duplex, partially funded by the city's housing tax levy.
That levy contributed $1.25 million to the project. MPHA's executive director, Abdi Wasarme, says the work will start at these new properties in the Wyndham and Regina neighborhood to help address the critical shortage of family housing in Minneapolis.
That's why this project is so important. It demonstrates the power of partnership. It demonstrates the commitment of the city of Minneapolis to address our region's affordable housing crisis.
He says these projects were made possible in part because of Minneapolis lifting its single-family zoning restrictions in 2020 as a part of the city's 2040 comprehensive plan. In South Minneapolis, I'm Taylor Rivera, News Talk 830 WCCO.
I'm Steve Simpson. The Vikings have added a new quarterback to their practice squad this morning. The team signing 30-year-old John Wolford, who likely will serve as the third string behind starter J.J. McCarthy and second stringer Max Brosmer. Wolford brings several seasons of NFL experience, including a stint with the Rams, where he previously worked with Vikings now current head coach Kevin O'Connell. The Vikings have a Week 9 matchup against Detroit Sunday at noon in the Motor City.
Meanwhile, food banks in Minnesota are bracing for the worst.
We cannot fill the gap that any disruption to SNAP would create.
That's Zach Rodvold, who is the public policy director at Second Harvest Heartland.
There is just a lot of anxiety and fear in the community right now, and we hear it every day from the folks that we serve. Food shelves are seeing long lines and a lot of need on top of 3 years of record need in Minnesota for emergency food assistance. So we are in dire straits as a hunger relief network.
Susie Jones, News Talk 830 WCCO.
Local Caribbean groups unite to send hurricane aid to hurricane-ravaged Jamaica.
James Byron with Twin Cities Carifest says he and other organizations will be taking in donations and supplies across several locations around the Twin Cities and gave some examples of things they're looking for.
Things like blankets, tents, generators, and things like that.
He says the thing that's needed most right now are financial donations to support the effort. Visit carifest.org and select the Caribbean Disaster Relief Fund. Taylor Rivera, News Talk 830, WCCO.
I'm Steve Simpson. Osseo schools have settled a sexual harassment case involving an assistant principal. The district agreeing to a $61,000 settlement. The parents of a 9-year-old student who was sexually harassed by an assistant principal over 3 years ago. An investigation found the district violated civil rights laws by failing to act on credible harassment reports, which ultimately led the parents to pull the girl out of the district. The Department of Human Rights will continue to monitor the school district for the next 5 years. The name of the school and the assistant principal involved, not released.
We are learning more about former Minnesota Viking running back Adrian Peterson, who was arrested for driving drunk in Houston.
Court records say former Vikings running back Adrian Peterson was asleep behind the wheel of his SUV at a suburban Houston gas station before he was arrested on charges of driving while intoxicated and unlawfully carrying a weapon. According to a probable cause affidavit, a Sugar Land police officer found Peterson around 9 Sunday morning asleep as his vehicle was running and parked near a gas pump. According to the affidavit, Peterson told the officer he didn't know where he was and later failed a field sobriety test. Peterson was released from custody Monday after posting bond. The 40-year-old Peterson was arrested on suspicion of drunken driving in Bloomington in April after attending a Vikings draft party. Ari Bergeron, News Talk 830 WCCO.
Thanks for listening to 830 On The Go. For all of our podcasts or to subscribe to the On The Go, visit us at WCCORadio.com/podcasts. I'm Lindsay Peterson, News Talk 830 WCCO.